to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz here with you, coming to you live from the Kintec Studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. You can text in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors. For over 50 years, visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. This hour of Canucks Talk brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. It's a big day for the Vancouver Canucks. It's a big day for Thomas Drantz as well. March Madness underway. So you know you're dialed in right now.
Very, very much dialed in. Gonzaga playing 1:30 before the end of the show. I'll be focused though.
Last segment, are you sure?
Yeah, last segment's going to be our strongest.
Yeah, of course, of course. By the way, in the
let's just take a moment and thank, you know, like it's important to be thankful sometimes in life. You know what I mean? And today we get March Madness, one of the great sports days of the annual calendar, and a critical Canucks game day as well. At the same time, like Merry Christmas.
Yes,
Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
It's a wonderful time of the year. By the way, in the Sportsnet 650 bracket, only Lena and I have perfect brackets remaining. Two games in, so I had to get that in early before games happen.
Yeah. Yeah, before Alabama State beats Auburn.
Exactly. That's
and kills us all.
Yeah, then we're all done. But, well, we won't focus on that. We will focus on the Canucks playing.
Well, we might if it gets close. We'll,
yeah,
no
if
promises.
It gets close at the end,
yeah.
We might just switch over to March Madness talk. But the Canucks playing a pivotal game tonight against the St. Louis Blues. Let's get into it. It's time for the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
I say they're playing tonight, but it's actually 4.5 hours from now. So for us, it's this afternoon / evening. The Canucks are in St. Louis taking on the Blues. Safe to say the biggest swing game of the season for the Canucks.
Yeah, and right, I'd forgotten that St. Louis lives in Central Time. So that's pretty far, man. Like that's pretty tough to play a 5 p.m. game when you just got there yesterday. That's brutal. That's honestly really tough from a scheduling perspective. Look, the Canucks have a lot on the line here, and the Blues have been red hot, shooting the lights out while playing really good structural defense. I actually think the closest analogy that I can come up with, if people want to think about who the Blues have been as they've fought their way back to the playoff race, I think they're looking and profiling a little bit like the November 2024 Canucks, right? Mm. What's happened since Montgomery's taken over is, in particular, their defensive game has become elite. And they've maintained that level even without Colton Parayko in the lineup. And Parayko is a guy I think the world of defensively. So that's pretty impressive. Structurally, defensively, this Blues team under the new head coach is doing a bang-up job. However, they really don't generate all that much offensively, especially at 5-on-5. In fact, you know, just going since the end of the Four Nations faceoff, as an example, the Blues are generating, you know, something like 26 shots per hour. To put it in perspective, this Canucks team that we've been crushing, frankly, in this market for their lack of offensive pop and juice, 24 shots per hour. 19th in the NHL over that time frame for the Blues, 25th for the Canucks. So what's the big difference? Canucks are finishing on 9% of their chances. Blues are finishing on 12.7% of their chances. And as we found out last fall, shooting percentage, oh boy, it's a hell of a drug.
Yes.
So, yeah, like euphoria.
Yeah. Makes you feel real good about your team.
makes you make some questionable decisions. So anyway, the truth about this Blues team, much improved under Montgomery, playing a lockdown brand of defense. Also on an unholy tear offensively that I don't think reflects their true talent level. Okay? I don't think this team generates like an elite offensive team, but they certainly are producing like one. And there's a lot of speed, especially in this forward group, that I think profiles in a way that we've seen stress out Canucks defenders, especially over the last little stretch. I'm talking about Dylan Holloway. We've seen what he can do to this Canucks team. We saw it in the playoffs. I'm thinking about Jordan Kyrou. Thinking about Rob Thomas, right? Like, they do have the one-shot scorers to be an efficient shooting team, right? It's not all smoke and mirrors. And they have the rush talent that I think we know has the ability to stress out who this Canucks team is defensively and what they sort of rely on. So, very dangerous opponent. Jordan Binnington getting the start on top of it all. Oh, Canada, right?
Big game guy.
We as much as we've been critical of Jordan Binnington in the past,
now we all have to be.
Now he's an icon. Now he's an icon. Like, he's on the Mount Rushmore of clutch Canadian hockey performances. He is. Yeah. That overtime performance,
it was good. Mount Rushmore of all-time did you say Canadian goalie performances?
Or clutch Canadian performances in best-on-best international hockey. We're talking, you know, I think we're talking Joe Sakic 2002 gold medal game. I think we're talking Crosby 2010 overtime winner.
Yeah.
And I think we're talking Jordan Binnington 2025 Four Nations faceoff.
I don't know. I can't I would.
He made
even
like eight.
Even at that game, I would still say McDavid was more clutch in the moment. Game-winning goal. I know he wasn't good
in
the game.
That's a bad take. Jordan Binnington, that Austin Matthews stop, that Brady Tkachuk stop.
One? Yeah, it was good.
Canada had no business getting to the point where McDavid had an opportunity to make the difference like that.
Fair enough. But I think I'm still maybe holding on to my Jordan Binnington hate that
I'm saying
the tournament with.
Totally. And the skepticism we all collectively shared as that tournament went along. Right? Like, at no point were we like, Jordan Binnington's going to save this team. But then he did, and now he's on the Mount Rushmore. I'm sorry. Like, I also was someone who's trended to be critical of Jordan Binnington. But Jordan Binnington is now a Canadian hero.
And you can have your complaints.
And forever.
You can have your worries about Jordan Binnington playing for Canada. What I will say, he is a clutch performer. And this is this is a big game for St. Louis. He's getting the start. It would be a clutch win for him. So we'll see how he plays tonight. The Canucks obviously going to be going with Kevin Lankinen. We've talked about the goaltending a lot recently. I forget what number did you have for his number of starts since the Four Nations?
Sorry, I think it was I thought I had it as 15 in he was at sorry. He was at 10 in 25 days since the end of the Four Nations break.
But even in just in the last 15 days, this is going to be his eighth start.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Which is, and you mix in a back-to-back in there. One thing that, you know, Kevin Woodley is a regular on this station, and one thing he said last week was like, hey, he might not feel it in that Calgary game, like the second half of a back-to-back. He obviously got the win. And oftentimes he said goalies are, they get up for that. They know that they have to show up for the second half of a back-to-back. They're being trusted. It's a big decision for a coach to go with them. He showed up, he played well. And the thing Woodley said was, a week or so after is when you start to feel the effects, right?
Like,
you don't have the time to rest. Obviously, Lankinen, he did have 2 days off after the Flames game, didn't start the Chicago game. But still, eight starts in 15 days, that's a lot.
Well, look, the act of playing goalie in the NHL is preposterously demanding physically, right? Remember that it's not just the shot count. Tockett's been talking a lot about like what he's looking for and adjust, you know, it's shot attempts, right? Like, the Stat Corsi was originally invented to track goalie workloads, because every time there's a shot attempt, there's a movement involved in preparing to stop it. You know, you're basically at this point, especially with post-integration stances, the butterfly, like all the techniques that are involved, you're basically playing a martial art in the middle of a team game. At this point, and you're often doing it at 6'3", 220 pounds, right? Like, these are huge gentlemen getting up and down repeatedly, 50 to 70 times a game, depending on how many shot attempts you're facing. The risk is high. The physical demands are high. And then there's the stuff people don't think about. Like, goalies lose 5 to 6 pounds of fluid per game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you are a goalie and you step on an NHL goaltender who steps on a scale pregame and postgame, you might be, like, I remember Braden Holtby used to be about 8 pounds a game. He was a bigger body, right? So it's like huge amounts of fluid drainage from your body. Most goalies who are playing back-to-back in the NHL, do you know what the first thing they do after they get off the ice or like after they get their equipment off? They go on an IV. They go on a drip. So honestly, you're looking at just an insane physical workload. 8 games in 15 days, a lot of them emotional games. It's just a lot of work. It's just a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that...
Oh, Paul Henderson suggests the texter. Henderson that's clearly... In. Okay, so Henderson,
we've
Crosby.
Got three.
Henderson, Crosby...
Sakic.
I think we just go McDavid and Binnington. I think we just put them both up. Okay. Recency bias, we're
in
it.
I'm all in. I'm all in. 650, 650, keep the text coming in there. But so also looking ahead to this road trip when it comes to goaltending. We've talked about it throughout this week. This is such a pivotal road trip for the Canucks. And there's no break necessarily, right? Like Rick Tocchet spoke about it. He said all of these teams are going to be desperate. And St. Louis, obviously, that's the team you're battling with. This is, like I said, it's going to be the biggest swing game of the season for the Canucks. There's no other games for the remainder of the season against teams around them in the standings that they are competing with. This is the last chance at a 4-point game for the Vancouver Canucks. But you go on this road trip, you play at 10 a.m. on Saturday against the Rangers, and hey, like, we can debate whether or not the Rangers are for real. That being said, they're still they have talent on their team. That's still going to be a game where you want to start Kevin Lankinen in New Jersey. Obviously, a good team. You want to start Lankinen in there. Islanders were the one that you looked at as like, hey, maybe this is the opportunity to get Artur Shelov in. But also, depending on how those two games go in New York and New Jersey, you get to the Islanders game, you might need a win. And you might have to start Kevin Lankinen. Columbus, obviously, a good team as well. They're desperate. And you finish the road trip in Winnipeg, we know is a very good team.
And St. Louis's next games. Chicago, Nashville, Montreal, Nashville again. And then they have a tough game against the Avs.
Yeah, so you're going to be in a spot where, like, you're just always going to be close to St. Louis or whatever team. You're going to have to start Lankinen a lot.
Oh, no question. But also, I just think in terms of framing the stakes of tonight, mm-hmm. right? You can't have a 4-point swing against you tonight. You can lose in OT, maybe. You can win in OT, that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
A regulation win, though, would be, I think, crucial because, I mean... The Blues are probably getting 7 points from their next 5 games. And the Canucks are going to need to play really well to do the same. Right? And so that's the context here. A 4-point swing against you, and then you look at the next 5 games in terms of what we can reasonably expect in terms of points haul. And it's like there's a world where the Canucks come back from the road trip down 4 or 5 points outside the playoffs if they lose in regulation tonight. Like that outcome cannot occur. They cannot permit it.
The stakes have never been higher for a regular season game in 2025 for the Vancouver Canucks. 650, 650. We got a couple texts about this. This is kind of part of the lineup notes of the whiteboard, but we're going to hit it here too. This one from Jason and Burnaby. Am I missing something in Tocchet's refusal to play Lekkomäki? And this one from Hannah. I know it makes sense to have Carlson and Garland in the lineup over Lekkomäki for 5-on-5 play. But rest in peace to power play one Lekkomäki.
Yeah.
For one game. So the note from Morning Skate today was Connor Garland was back. He was on the ice for Morning Skate. Tocchet did say, we'll hear his full comments later, but Tocchet did say he's a game time decision, but him taking part in line rushes and all that, I would assume he is going to play tonight. Lekkomäki was the odd man out with Linus Karlsson still in the lineup. What do you think, if this is the forward group they roll with, what do you think of that decision?
Yeah, I think it's okay in that, you know, trying to play mistake-free hockey, trying to know when is the right time to lean on, you know, a young player versus like a game where, hey, you turn the puck over in a key moment and it results in a third period goal against, like, that's going to sully how you're talked about, you know, maybe forever, depending on what else you accomplish in your career. That's going to be like a cross to bear. You know, I understand wanting to be low risk in managing that. I also thought Linus Karlsson had an impeccably good game against the Winnipeg Jets. Like, I thought he was extremely impressive in terms of his two-way contributions throughout the evening. So, you know, Tocchet's long-term, like, Tocchet turned to Linus Karlsson in sort of a must-win game, what was it, 5? In in Vancouver during the Stanley Cup playoffs, like against the Edmonton Oilers. So we know that he trusts him. He certainly played an exceptional game the other night. I understand keeping him in the lineup. I worry a little bit about, you know, just losing Lekkerimäki on the power play, because I think special teams has been the driver, the engine driving this team's, you know, success is even too, like, they, because I don't think they've been especially successful, but they've been good enough to sort of maintain a hold on a playoff spot for now anyway, despite the fact that, like, some of their top players have struggled immensely and their top six has been wildly or outscored by a lopsided margin at 5-on-5 and on, right? So I think there have been reasons for this Canucks team to load up on the power play, and I think Lekkerimäki brings that value, but I certainly understand why they'd prefer what Linus Karlsson can bring in terms of that steady, reliable, trusted 5-on-5 piece.
He did play really well against Winnipeg, too.
He did, but if your issue against, like, if the thing I'm worried about is, are the Blues going to be able to stress you out with their speed, putting Karlsson in instead of Lekkerimäki diminishes your team's speed. So
I would agree. Like, I wanted to see Lekkerimäki tonight.
It's consistent with what this team has done generally, which is they want to try and win low-scoring games. They want to try and play low-event hockey. Like, that to me, it's just consistent with the game plan that Tocchet has hatched to allow this team to punch above their weight to this point.
It is the safe option, some people would say. I am going to... The thing about Lekkerimäki on power play the other night, they had one power play, and it did look really good. I was very encouraged. I wanted to see it again tonight. So I'm not necessarily saying this is the decision I would go with, but also I do wonder if people are getting a little enamored with the small sample of that power play.
Well, and the hope and dream stuff of any young player with significant draft capital who's performed well as a young guy. People don't want, you know, guy who doesn't excite them to be playing over guy who does, even if it is the right call. For me anyway, this is like a coin flip. You know, it's sort of a marginal edge one way or the other. I would have loved to see Lekkerimäki. You know, I guess let's just remember this the next time someone says, you know, being down the stretch with a young team, like being in a stretch run, playing these games is gonna like help everyone. You know, they're gonna learn from this. It's like, okay. But, you know, you're also going to face decisions where you just trust the older guy with less upside.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, so it's like, it's more than anything, let's just remember this in the context of rejecting bad faith hockey arguments.
Yeah.
But I think looking at it as like some mistake is unfair.
On to lineup notes, nothing in the broadsheet, by the way, but on to lineup notes. Here are the lines, according to Dan Murphy from Morning Skate today in St. Louis. Nils Höglander with Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser. That line stays together. Jake DeBrusk, Pew Suter, Kiefer Sherwood, Drew O'Connor with Teddy Bluger and Linus Karlsson, and Dakota Joshua, Nils Åman, Connor Garland, as a line as well. Hughes Myers on the back end playing together. Meaty, Marcus Pettersson, and Philip Peronik, and Derek Forbert, Elias Pettersson, your third pair, at Morning Skate. So probably no Victor Mancini.
Elias Pettersson staying in, though. That's a heck of a endorsement, right? Because he's the young guy, too, but they obviously feel...
a big physical guy in games like this, I think, is good at, sure. But Mancini is that too.
And Mancini's fast.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Mancini's got more speed. But I think the way that Pettersson pinches down the wall to maintain possession helps this Canucks team drive offensively, which they need. So, yeah, again, both would have been totally good options in my mind. Excuse me.
No,
and you can't remove Forbert from the lineup at this point.
No.
Of what
unsung
he's done on
hero.
The PK.
Yeah. Unsung hero. I was so ready to... Take a victory lap yesterday. I looked at his underlying numbers and I was like, maybe today is not the day. But I don't care. He's still my guy. Unsung hero, Derek Forbert. We got a lot of texts saying, hey, Thatcher Demko is backing up tonight. He's not backing up tonight. He was the second goalie on Dan Murphy's tweet for Morning Skate, so I can understand why people think he's backing up tonight. Tocchet spoke to media and basically said it's not going to be like the last time he came back where Demko backs up before starting a game. Basically said if he's healthy, he's going to start. because you're not at that time of the season anymore. We'll hear the full comments of Rick Tocchet later in the show, but Kevin Lankinen getting the start, Artur Shelov's backing up for the Canucks tonight, unless something unexpected happens, but that's what I would expect tonight based on Rick Tocchet's comments earlier today. On to the playoff and standings update. So last night, nothing happened in regards to the Canucks playoff chances. Toronto Maple Leafs, they beat the Avalanche 2-1. The Minnesota Wild beat the Seattle Kraken. Those were the only two games. So no change according to Dom's model. Canucks still at 55%, Blues at 24%, Flames at 16%, Utah at 9%. I did want to pass this along. According to Mike Kelly, NHL Network, also Sport Logic, their numbers have the Canucks playoff odds sitting at 28%, the Blues at 43%. But with the Canucks regulation win, they, according to Sport Logic, they would jump up to 42% for the Canucks. The Blues would drop to 28%, so it would be a big swing. And conversely, if the Blues win, St. Louis goes up to 54%, and a Canucks regulation loss would drop them down to 17%, according to Sport Logic. So, obvious statement, tonight is a big game.
Huge. As high leverage as it gets, the granddaddy of all four-point games, the Canucks are underdogs in it. This is your gambling update. The Canucks are underdogs tonight, plus 120 on the money line. Some steam toward the St. Louis side. That's about a 45% implied probability of victory. The over-under is set at 5.5 with steam on the under. You can get plus 125 on over 5.5 goals.
I would lean low scoring game, personally. I know the Canucks are a high-octane offense now. They've scored 6 goals in 2 of their last 3, but me crazy.
I mean, if the Blues, like, neither of these teams generate all that much. Both are good defensively. The you know, it sort of comes down to how efficient both shooting teams can be. And one thing I'd say is both of these teams have the skill to be hyper-efficient. So, I don't know. Look, I wouldn't touch the total either way.
Yeah, 650. We'll read this one before we go. Mike, the urologist from Brockville. Josh, how pumped are you to have Murph on the meaty train? It's a big win for Team Meaty. That's been my nickname for Marcus Pedersen this whole time. Hey, you can have your thoughts about it. That's the train I'm on.
You remind me of the famous TikTok where the girl is talking to God. It's like an angel talking to God. You ever seen this one?
I mean, maybe.
And the joke is like, what happened to the dinosaurs? I told you to make them fatter.
Yeah.
She said, you told me to make them meatier.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's what this is.
Meatier? Meatier.
Oh, no. So we got one person on the meaty train. It's a movement. It's an uprising. We'll get everyone there eventually. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drance. On the other side, we'll get more into tonight's game and hit some of your texts as well on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. So keep getting those in. It is Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.